Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey Mike, let me ask you, have you ever heard about the bar method?
Have not, but it sure sounds like fun. What does it mean?
Well, probably not what you think it stands for, but what they mean is blot, apply, and remove. It's the new way to remember the steps to conduct hybrid decon.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, with the threats continuing to evolve, our SOPs do as well. And First Line Technology introduced us to the BAR method. It's backed by science and real-world application. This method of blot, apply, and remove is faster, safer, and more effective method to decon.
Is it going to work for both wet and dry?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The methodology forces you to consider the who, what, when, and where before determining what materials you will be used to carry out the necessary actions. It helps you to tailor your decon to the threats you're facing.
This could be exactly the thing I need to train my team on. How can I get more info?
Well, First Line's EDS kit has everything you need to conduct the hybrid decon for large or small missions. To learn about the kit and how to apply this BAR method, visit www.firstlinetech.com/EDS. You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hazmat Guys. For those of you that are not watching us live, I could not get myself in frame there for a moment. we are, full swing into gearing up in conference season. Going everywhere all the time. And I got off the phone with a guy from somewhere. I don't know who he is or where he was from, but he was going doing grant writing and going through the motions of trying to get his conference up and running. He was calling with a bunch of questions, and he's like, how, you know, you guys have a lot of, you know, conferences and stuff going on, and we're like, yeah. And by the end of the conversation, I realized that I wasn't talking to the guy I thought I was talking to. And we laughed, and he's like, I guess you seriously guys are doing a lot of, like, there's a lot of conferences going on. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to you in 2 weeks. And I kept asking him, like, is the hotel squared away? And he's like, yeah, well, if we have you guys down, we'll square the hotel away. And I'm like, I'm coming to you in 2 weeks.
Get
and he's
your
like,
stuff together, man.
He's like, no, you're not. He's like, I don't have the. I'm like, we're just applying for the grants right now. And I'm like, oh my God, my freaking life is too crazy. It's too crazy. It's too
crazy.
Oh,
I love it.
It's hard enough for me to keep track of names and faces when I'm looking at people. Can't do it any other way.
Well, with that being said, I actually today just recorded for the live conference for the Midwest, our second show, Myths Part Deux. Part Deux.
What about Dose? When is Part Dose coming out?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that one next time. Okay. I think that would be probably a good step forward to do that. And you know what? What else is actually a couple of like kind of urgent things to pop out on this show is that the roundtable, if you haven't seen it, go on Facebook, find the roundtable show, and there is a scholarship. We are buying, the Hazmat Roundtable is buying one lucky guest, listener, reviewer, whatever the hell you want to say, a scholarship, all expenses paid, flight, lodging, and admission to the Baltimore Hazmat Conference this year in June 8th, if memory serves. So check that out. Yeah, that and was- in addition,
we are giving away two tickets. Ours is a little bit different.
Yes.
We have three tickets to give away.
Yes.
Two of them will be done based upon raffles for those that are in the specialist and the technician level premium content. Yep. And so in order to apply for the possibility of winning the raffle, you will have to be a premium member. And we will have posts that are going out to the private Facebook page, as well as an email for the raffle. And again, you have to be able to sign into the post that will be behind the premium firewall in order to apply for the ticket. And then the third one is going to go out. The raffle itself, the sign up for the raffle itself is going to go out via the newsletter. So if you are not a premium member, you can sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter is completely free, and that will give you the ability to sign up for the raffle.
Also, I'll throw this out there as a little teaser, because we'll throw it at the end again. If you want to get your premium, you can use the coupon code APRILFOOLS22. That's all lowercase, no space. April Fool's 22. I thought that was a funny one to throw out there. And that will give you 10% off of all your subscription needs. And last plug, and then we're done, is check out the FDNY Hazmat 1 shirt locker. It's up. It's live. It's going. It's FDNY Hazmat, the number 1.com. And that's it.
I like the sign language that's going along with it.
You like that? See, yeah. This is the visualizations you don't get with the audio only. It's incredible.
Bob's flashing gang signs on the other side of the screen.
I just called the Crips in from across the liquor store, and we are ready to go. So we haven't done one of these shows in quite a while. And what I will premise this is as, these are the emails that come in. These are the things that we find out about that don't fit in any mailbag, in any show. They don't have enough meat, or we didn't find enough information to vet them out. And so it takes quite a few years to summarize enough of these things.
Well, some of them are concepts that people are working on. Things that are just kind of starting. So there's really not a whole ton of information on them. But we want to keep you abreast of what is happening in the hazmat world.
Yeah.
Some of these things may not even come around for another 5 to 10 years, but there's somebody out there working on them.
Do you want me to start? I got one.
Go for it.
All right. So this one, I've heard things of this. Now, every good rumor starts with like a little bit of truth, right? And so I've heard this going into – remember when solar panels started coming out?
Yes.
Right. Well, so solar panels were all
– yeah, I wasn't born. But yeah, 70s, 60s, yeah.
Well, I'm saying they were popular for houses. And that was a big deal because of like, you know, how do you vent the roof, et cetera, when the things are always making electric, et cetera, et cetera. And so what happened was there was this product, and I'm not making the shameless plug for this product because they actually do publish this stuff. But it's basically this black spider web. I'll call it that. And you spray it from a 2.5 gallon pressurized water extinguisher like normal that you'd have like water inside. And yet you spray this on the solar panels and it basically puts like a shroud across it, which cool. And a lot of guys snickered and said, that looks like this. All right, you know what I'm going to say? You know that stuff, what the hell is it called?
I don't know.
Oh, Flex Seal.
Yes.
Flex Seal. There's the Phil Swift. He turns a screen door into a freaking boat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's what I used to go fishing.
Right. Fast forward to about this email came in about eight, 9 months ago, and they are now making a version of Flex Seal as PPE.
Really? Like a spray-on PPE?
Spray-on, level B suit that you can wear in. Now, I did so I reached out to the people that are manufacturing this, and you can reach out to us later on if you want to find out where I got my sourcing. But basically, the first version of this thing, this poor guy in Texas, they thought it would be well to have a tepid, warm vat of this stuff, and he just climbs in, and he basically goes neck deep on it. But it grabbed all his hairs, and he went hairless.
Oh.
So now the version that they're using is now that you put on like a spandex type suit first, and that kind of keeps all the hairs tamped down,
right?
And then you spray this on, and then you can do all the rest of the stuff on the fly. It is interesting, evolving stuff, and I can definitely see things going in that direction.
Well, you talk about things going in that direction, and you're absolutely right. The idea of nanotechnology, the idea of, you know, things becoming more, I want to say like personalized, right? So if you take the spray on suit, you're form fitting that, you're allowing yourself to be able to operate in almost a freedom kind of a way. There has been a step forward taken in that. Well, not a step forward, just a different point of view. You know how sometimes things come right out from different points of views. A company by the name of Glupont was able to Teflon infuse petroleum jelly. So what this allows us to do is, instead of, so you have one manufacturer that's going the spray-on route, you have another manufacturer that's able to take the ease and convenience of applying petroleum jelly into levels of PPE. So the big question is when you get the infusion of the Teflon with the petroleum jelly, what kind of chemicals will it react to? Petroleum jelly being an oxidizer, does it still have the same oxidative properties? Because it is not just a mixture. There's a chemical reaction that is taking place.
Yeah.
Still giving you the form and ease of application of the petroleum jelly, and then infusing with the Teflon, being able to actually stick to you as well as repel any kind of contaminants.
You know, like the fluorine bond is the single strongest bond in organic chemistry. So that would be probably a good mixture in order to get those two to hang. I'm very interested in that one. I did not hear about that one.
Yeah, and the fact that it can be used in various locations, relatively water resistant because it's petroleum based.
I'm assuming in lower temperatures. I mean, the thing's going to melt off you, I would think. Maybe they have a higher viscosity one that just kind of stays on you like a sticky widget.
Well, I would imagine, you know, this is more dealing with, it hasn't even started to enter the realm of emergency services yet. It's literally in the an R&D type of a phase.
That makes sense.
So again, this is one of those ones that is literally years on down the line. But, you know, if you're new to hazmat, by the time you've got your 10 to 15 years in, you might be dealing with one of these types of suits in your PPE. And I got to tell you something. The ability to compress all of our PPE selection, our PPE takes up almost half of our rig. For stuff that we almost never break out, right? I mean, most of our runs are done in bunker gear. So to take a half a rig's worth of space and compress it down into, you know, cans of spray-on stuff or tubes of jelly, it would absolutely revolutionize how we respond, what we can do, the ease of getting things on and off. It would make life a lot better. Yeah,
that's amazing. All right, this one, I don't know where the hell is. Okay, so this came somewhere in the Midwest. I don't even know where it was. But they are investigating a seemingly impossible chemical. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. Trichochlorate.
Okay. Is that a sodium trichochlorate?
No, it's just just trichochlorate.
Okay. So it's not the salt version.
No. This is the liquid version, I'm assuming.
Two gentlemen have figured it out. It's Steve McCaffrey and John Adcox. Let's see. The LEL is kind of wide, 1382. And the vapor pressure is, I'm going to say, relatively high at 350. So it's about halfway to gas. So it's pretty volatile, relatively speaking. The pH is a 12.
Really?
IP is a 2.49 and the ideal H is 65. So this is not only something that is going to come and get you, but it's acidic, is easily readable by IPs, and apparently it's burning down buildings all over the upper Midwest. They're aggressively looking for the people that are involved in these fires, but trichochlorate is the apparently the weapon of choice for this whole thing. It's causing fires. I have you seen this on the news?
I haven't. I don't have a TV. my only exposure to the outside world in news is on my way into work, at work, and my way home from work. So no, I have not seen it on the news. I heard there's something going on in like the Ukraine, Russia, something. But
it's no big deal. It's all right. That's all good. I don't know. This chemical seems to be, it smells like gasoline, you know. It's very big in.
What are they using it for? What's its general?
Apparently, purpose? Arson. Jobs where they're like burning down buildings.
It's being created specifically for one purpose.
Yeah. I don't know if you are able to synthesize it or whatever, but it could be something to keep your mind around. So I'm going to try to get a little bit more of this chemical and see if I can find a little bit more, and I'll publish it on here, utilizing a couple of different things. So we'll see where that one pans out.
If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more hazmat goodness. All right. There is a company out there. This is a really cool tool, kind of right up my alley, sort of speak, because I like playing with I will make ice cream out of nitrogen, you know, with liquid nitrogen. I like yes. Cryogenics. So we actually have two things cryogenic wise. The first one, there's a company out there that is producing an emergency service doer withdrawal. And the basic concept is we have the ability to fight certain things with cryogenics, right?
Yes.
If we can lower vapor pressure, we can smooth things out. If we can freeze liquids, we can then, instead of pumping them, we can just scrape them off the road and throw them away.
Good.
Now, the problem is us as a fire department, we don't have a supply of cryogenic, right? We don't know how to store it. We're not able to maintain it. It's constantly off-gassing. However, there is cryogenic material all around us. And the ability to, say, walk into, I'm going to say, a McDonald's and know that they have cryogenic, if you have an emergency nearby, this would be a doer that would withdraw the liquid CO2 and make it usable for emergency services when it is needed at site. Obviously, that, you know, the company would be billed. We wouldn't just be stealing their CO2, but almost like a what do they call it? Like when a cop takes your car.
What's it called?
What is that called? Not confiscate.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, where they're like, we're police, we're taking your car, whatever that is. We would be able to do the same thing, right? Because we have, there's a couple of, there's two, especially the second one, within our area, and we're seeing such a huge increase in the batteries, the lithium ion batteries.
Yes.
There's a train of thought that we're starting to experiment with is, well,
Commandeer.
There you go. I knew it started with a C. There's an idea that we're starting to play with thermal runaway. And if the concept, the thought process, which is actually quite brilliant, is if damaged cells, if they start to react, and that the reaction is a chemical reaction, let's take the chemical reaction and drop it below the point that it has enough active, it no longer has the activation energy to react. And we believe that we can do this with liquid CO2, right? Which is everywhere. So if we can, in an emergency situation, walk across the street to 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, grab enough of the CO2 to then be able to use it, quench the battery, then we would be able to stop all the reactions. Nothing more is going to be able to continue. And then we could then ship that frozen battery without any kinds of issues. Another way that we've been looking to use cryogenic material like CO2 is going to be in certain types of liquid fires, transmission vaults, things that are below ground. We can take and use that to both, just like a firefighting, right? We would use water on a fire. Well, this device almost pressurizes it like a fire extinguisher. So I can now apply the cryogenic material onto the fire. There's no risk of electrocution. It's going to dramatically reduce the amount, the heat in many of like the transformers, the metals. If it's gasoline or diesel or petroleum based, I'm pulling a massive amount of heat out of that liquid, maybe dropping it below its flash point, putting out the fire. Any of the vapors that come off of the CO gas, well, that's part of the extinguishing agent, and it's going to keep settled down.
It's interesting. It's so weird you say that, because one of the ones I got here is something that kind of goes into the whole phase change thing.
Okay.
There is a company, I'm not going to say the names because they haven't sponsored us. I reached out to them twice. They're a little tight. I told them to shoot the lock off their wallets, but they haven't done it yet. They are in the process.
Little arm.
Yeah, a little Tyrannosaurus arms. They are in the process of patenting. Yes. A process to solidify fire.
How?
Change the phase from that gaseous fire that we know and solidify it, and then you can just smack it and just break it.
Really?
Yeah. Cutting edge stuff. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't see how it is, because is it a gas? Is it a plasma? Is it, it what is it? And they say they have it, you know, smacked around where they can actually apply an agent that would take the flames and stop them midair and then stop it. And solidify it almost into something where you can actually hold, and it wouldn't be hot anymore.
I was going to say, if you're suspending all of the molecules that are reacting,
yeah,
then there's no more reaction. So it's not the actual fire itself. Like not like you're seeing like a glowing blob on the ground. You're just taking the chemicals that are creating the fire.
Yes.
Like an in-air emulsification?
Yeah, that's what's in my head. Now, they haven't really – they're still in the patenting stage.
Okay.
So they haven't really released all that much stuff about it. But I can see a little bit of, I'll be honest here. I might invest a little bit in this company because I have a feeling it's going to go somewhere. It's like a Kickstarter.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can kick the start, you know, like we can get this thing going. I have one more. Do you have any more?
I don't. Those were my three. All right,
I got one more, and this one, honestly, I saved it for the last one because I was blown away by this one. So on foam operations, right? Back in the day, we used to have the floral proteins, which were fish guts, etc. And you said to pick the right foam. And then in the last like 5 or 10 years, we started getting to this easier stuff where everything's basically ARAFFF, right? AR blah, whatever right. the hell
and
it was.
And they just name it something, some universal.
Whatever.
And they pick like a color or like, I don't know. I think we're at like universal titanium.
Yeah, titanium point, right? And yeah. diamond level, diamond
right,
hands.
Right.
Right. And so now, basically everything's AR because everything has some form of ethanol in it. Right. And so you had to think more about what you were putting it on. And so now what they're doing, this is the important. So for those at home, it kind of makes sense when you say it in this, right? Gasoline is nonpolar. So therefore, if I put gasoline on water, it would float. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Ethanol is scotch. So if I put ethanol and water together, they are miscible. Right? You get drunk water, but they're miscible, right? They mix together and they never come apart. So the question comes to the class is now, okay, you have an ethanol, an E85 car. How do they get the ethanol and the gasoline to mix? And you wait a second and they go, I don't know. And you say, because they say it in every commercial, it's the detergents. They put soap to make those two things shake hands. Now, this is where I can see the relevance of this thing. We've been limited by water being part of the foam. Some ingenuitive firefighters.
Oh, my God. They're going to take the detergents out of the gasoline?
No. Oh, no. Okay. These are guys from Australia, and they added vegetable oil to the adductor foam. And so now it's a water, soap, vegetable oil mixture, and it puts basically everything out. It's replacing the world right now.
So it is literally universal.
It is universal.
Not galactic.
No.
Not interstellar.
We can't get there yet. We have to start somewhere.
Okay.
But the thing, like, you know, it's green. It's vegetable oils. It comes from the earth. I can see this thing growing some legs. And I want to give kudos to those guys down in Australia. Bucky and I don't even.
Oh,
I can't read.
Are these the guys that we met at last year's conference in Wichita?
I think it was. Wichita. That was the best conference of the year. Wichita. International Hazmat Conference, I think it was.
I can't remember the name, but I remember the guys. I remember sitting at the bar talking with these guys. Yep.
Tall guys.
Yep. Had the red and gray. I've never seen a red and gray goatee before.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the guys. So listen, guys, there are things out there that we don't even know. This is like the X-Files of shows. We're going to keep looking into it. And if you find anything more about those kinds of things, by all means, send it to us. Also, just to repeat it one more time, April Fools 22 is the coupon code for the premium. If you want to get involved in that, you can see all our smiling punims and even more content than you used to. So this was the Frio. You can see this on YouTube and on Facebook replay. And even on the website, you can go to thehazmatguys.com and see this on the website in perpetuity.
Or that means forever.
That means forever.
Forever.
Forever. Have a good night, guys. We'll see you next time.
Well, that wraps up another episode of The Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.